Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Welcome to Tuesday's episode of the podcast. Thanks ever so much for downloading. It's August the 19th coming up. There's mixed reaction to the idea of bringing in more traffic restrictions on Rochester High Street. A woman who suffered brain damage shares how writing has given her a new lease of life. And find out why a traffic bollard in Yalding has been given a knitted makeover. But first today, a tractor driver is in a critical but stable condition after his vehicle fell from a bridge onto the M20. Police say he'd been driving along the A227 near Rootham when his trailer became separated from the tractor and overturned. The tractor then came off the road and landed on the central reservation below at around 11:15 yesterday morning. Patrick Lowline lives nearby and heard the emergency response, including the air ambulance.
I heard a lot of commotion outside of the helicopters and then the sirens wouldn't stop. So I thought I'd have a look. So I went for a little walk and I saw a man crash through the hedges over that way. And he was saying that a tractor had fallen off the bridge. And given that my son works on a tractor sometimes, I would sort of get a little bit concerned. So I had a look. The emergency services responded very quickly and did a very good job. It does get busy here all the time. It's a busy road. And these tractors, they have to use it the same as others do. So there's a lot of farms around here. So this is a major thoroughfare from north to south. And then the M20, obviously, I don't need to say how that important that is.
Well, the driver of the tractor was flown to hospital for treatment and his family were contacted. The M20 and A227 remained closed until the early hours of this morning while recovery work and repairs were carried out. Crash investigators are still very keen to hear from anyone who saw what happened or might have dash cam footage. If that's you, you're being urged to call the West Kent Appeals line. The number for that is 01622 604 100. That's 01622 604 100. Quoting reference 18-0475. That's 18-0475. Our thoughts are very much with the driver and his family.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a heartbroken wife says she's still in shock after her husband died in a freak chainsaw accident near Whitstable. Amy Parry came home to find no sign of her partner Ed in their house in Seasalter in April. She reported him missing and the 44-year-old's body was later found behind their shed. An inquest has heard he suffered a catastrophic injury while carrying out gardening work. Firefighters have managed to put out a huge blaze in a derelict office building near Folkestone Harbour. Pictures and video at Kent Online show flames and smoke coming from Stoneley House on Tram Road early this morning. Advice to keep doors and windows closed in the area has now been lifted. It's been confirmed a person's died after emergency crews were spotted at a shopping centre in Medway. Police and paramedics were seen near the car park at Hempstead Valley on Sunday. Now, next today, there's been mixed reaction to news further traffic restrictions could be put in place on Rochester High Street. You already can't drive along it on Saturdays, but now a consultation's underway into plans to stop vehicles on Sundays and bank holidays as well. If approved, AMPR cameras could be used to catch anyone breaking the rules. Well, Ollie Leader from the Local Democracy Reporting Service has been chatting to people in the High Street.
I've always been in favour of the Saturday closing. I think it's great. I do have some reservations about it in that I don't think it's been done correctly. Regards shifting it to the Sunday and Monday, I don't have any real objections to that as long as it's done properly. And as I said, but it's, in my opinion, not been done properly as we speak. So
the way they're going to enforce this is put cameras up, APNR cameras. Do you think that's the right approach?
I don't, because with a cynical look at it, and we all know, and regardless what any council is going to say, AMPR cameras are there to make money.
Well, I think personally, I think it'd be quite a good idea, actually. Vehicles do come down here of a weekend, and with tourists not understanding, maybe they come from abroad, they don't understand the traffic system, it could lead to nasty accidents. So that would stop that?
Well, I think it's a bit over the top, really, but, you know, there's too many cameras coming up now. So I don't really think that. I mean, if they pedestrianise it, it's closed anyway, so why do we need cameras?
I get very fed up with people who are concerned about cameras in the place. I mean, if you've got no concern about what you're doing, why should you be worried about being on camera? Exactly. Maybe I'm naive, but I just don't see this. I really don't see it.
Well, you can have your say in the consultation, which is running until September the 21st.
Kent Online reports.
A Sheppey couple who blackmailed a woman after filming her being sexually assaulted have been jailed. A court heard the victim had been plied with alcohol before being attacked and was then asked to pay thousands of pounds or the footage would be shared. A 33-year-old man and 40-year-old woman from Sheerness have been locked up for a total of almost 16 years. A man's appeared in court and denied murder following the discovery of a body at a house in Dartford. A man in his 60s was found dead in Dunlop Close on July the 5th. It was initially not considered to be suspicious, but following investigations, detectives arrested and charged Dorin Kiorba. The 29-year-old from Longbridge Road in Barking also denies robbery. He's due to go on trial in January. A Chatham man has appeared in court after being found to have more than 1,000 indecent images. Police seized devices after visiting James Thurston's home in August last year. The 23-year-old from Chatham Grove admitted downloading the pictures and has been told he'll be sentenced at Crown Court. Now, a Kent politician says the Conservatives will need to learn lessons from Donald Trump if they want to win the next election. Robbie Lammas, who's a Tory councillor in Medway, travelled out to America to campaign for the Republicans last year. He was also previously chief of staff for the chairman of the Conservative Party, where he says Trump's tactics could help the party recover from defeat. Robbie's been chatting to our local democracy reporter Robert Boddy on the latest episode of the Kent Politics Podcast.
You became chief of staff for Richard Holden for a number of years, and he eventually became the chairman of the Conservative Party, including during the general election last year.
Yeah.
And you were there in the thick of it. Yeah. What was that like, that general election campaign?
Very frustrating for me because you are led to believe that you have this influence and that your member does, but actually the way it transpired in reality was that very much not a lot of power. I was very frustrated with the direction of the Conservative Party machine in the run-up to the last general election. And I actually had blazing rows with the guy in charge of the campaign and told him precisely what was going to happen and why, and that they should look more to what Trump was doing in America in terms of the way he was campaigning, the tactics, the messaging he was doing, how he was talking to people's grievances and their worries and fears, for example. And I was dismissed quite a lot, and I found it a very grueling process, but I was vindicated by the result in terms of being correct in what I predicted. But that was not a unique prediction on my behalf, and also I would much rather have won.
You mentioned Trump and the American election. You went over and campaigned
at my own expense.
At your own expense. Why did you decide to do that?
Because I see Trump as a major disruptive figure. And I understand what he's trying to achieve for his economic policies for working class Americans. And I also understand fully the impact US policy, especially economic policy, has on the rest of the world, including Britain. And I wanted some of the things he was trying to achieve for America, for the world and for the UK. So I saw it as really important to go.
What are sort of the differences about the ways that political parties have their campaign? And is there anything that we can learn?
Yeah, and actually all of the political parties in the UK have learned already. One of the things that happened in America first was this switch from typical voting allegiances and party basis and identity towards issues. So up until about the late 1990s, in the UK, 80% of people never changed the way they vote. So you're playing for a very small percentage of swing voters, right? So change was more incremental, whereas today the latest estimates suggest that as much as 65% of the voting population have no allegiance to any party whatsoever.
Right.
What they do gravitate towards is issues.
Right.
And that's what Trump knew so well. He knew that if he spoke to the main issue of concern, which for them was the southern border, He could attract voters from all party colours, and he did.
And you can listen back to more episodes by clicking on the politics pages of Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
Three men have been charged after armed police were called to a disused office building in Kings Hill. They'd been sent to reports of people dressed in black and wearing balaclavas at Tower View on Saturday afternoon. A group aged 39, 40 and 41 are due in court accused of burglary and criminal damage. Footage at Kent Online today shows the moment shoplifters took more than £100 worth of children's clothes from a shop on Sheppey. CCTV captured the moment items were picked out and put into a rucksack at Spoil for Choice on Sheerness High Street. It's home to more than 20 independent businesses. Police say they're investigating. A Folkestone woman who was left with brain damage after an epileptic seizure has landed a book publishing deal. Nicola Hodges suffered four brain hemorrhages following a fall 5 years ago. The 37-year-old says writing made her feel like she could breathe again. She's been speaking to Kristen Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV.
I just wanted more for myself, and I just felt like I had been standing still or like I'd been asleep for so long, and I needed to wake myself up. I needed to do something, anything. So I wrote this list of things I wanted to do before I was 40, and at the top of it was write this book that had been milling around in my head, all these weird ideas that I was trying to sort of piece together, this plot that had sort of developed in my mind since the coma. And, you know, the rest of the list is stuff like jumping out of an aeroplane, going on bungee jumping, all that sort of stuff. And so at the top was the most intimidating one, the one I was sort of most scared of. But it was the one I wanted to do the most. I've always wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to find a way that I could do it. And of course, that voice in my head said, no, you are setting the bar too high. You cannot do this. You are brain damaged. What makes you think in a million years that, you don't have a degree, you're not qualified to do this, you don't have any experience in this sort of area, and you're brain damaged, like what makes you think you could do this? So I just sort of tried my best to just put that voice in a little box and just tell it to shush. If you're not being helpful, just shush. And started writing.
So you, from this then, I'm sure that, you know, people who maybe haven't been in the exact same position, you inspire them as well. You know, there's different points there that a lot of people would probably relate to. You have a TikTok.
Yeah.
And lots of fans that you call the crazies, I believe.
Yeah, the crazies.
So what have you been doing with that? What have you been sending them, and what has the response been from the people that follow you?
Well, it's been, I mean, we're still a small community, but we like to keep it safe and wholesome, like a nice place. You look at TikTok, I don't know if you've been ever doom scrolling through TikTok, but there's some horrors on there. So we like to keep it a nice, safe place where you can learn and grow and maybe find some friends. So that's something that we really focus on. And I say we, because even though I am the one pressing the buttons to sort of go on live stream or whatever, I don't class the creative crazy corner as mine anymore. It's a community. So I always say, we do this, we do that. And we make decisions together as a group as to what happens with the channel. So we will often have, we'll give people in the group the opportunity to share their own work with us, so share a couple of chapters of their pieces, and we will all give them advice or feedback, or, you know, tell them the things we like, the things we didn't like, maybe if there's a character that needs more development, or there is a problem in the plot that needs adjusting. We'll do that.
Fascinating interview there, and Nicola's second fantasy book is out in September.
Kent Online News.
Pictures on the website today show work is progressing quickly on two major developments in Ashford. A new Home Bargains and Costa Coffee drive-through are being built at the Drovers Retail Park. The town's fourth McDonald's off the A28 Chart Road is also nearing completion. Opening dates for both are expected before the end of the year. Work to refurbish the public toilets at Botany Bay in Broadstairs is now complete. The £140,000 upgrade includes a new roof, redecoration and swapping the men's and women's toilets around. The facilities on the beach are back open. A traffic bollard has been given a knitted makeover in a bid to stop crashes in a Kent village. It's been installed to try and stop vehicles bumping up onto the pavements to get through the narrow roads of Yalding. Well, a local knitting group have made a neon cover in the hope more drivers will see it. Elka Day is from the group.
We have a grade one listed bridge, a one-way bridge, a narrow bridge which only can take single file traffic, and outside the library the cars continually mount the pavement. There is a 7.5 ton limit on the bridge, but nobody observes it. Lots of trucks go through. So about 10 years ago KCC put one bollard outside the library to protect the children, you know, running into the road and being hit by traffic mounting the pavement, which lasted about one day. And then eventually they put a sort of bell bollard there and cars kept on mounting it. And about a few months ago, it was half knocked out of its foundation and then completely. So KCC came and took it away and put two plastic bollards up, one of which lasted 2 days. This is the one remaining one. And so the Knit and Natter group decided to, the representative from KCC said, I can't understand why drivers don't see it. So the Knit and Natter group decided with their limited resources to knit a bollard cosy to make it more visible. That's what we've done, and today it's been inaugurated.
And you can head to Kent Online to see pictures. And finally, a hairdresser from Kent is going to be on the new season of Bake Off. 59-year-old Leslie says she's been baking since the age of 10 and was inspired by her grandmother and aunt. She's one of the contestants announced for the next series, which starts in 2 weeks' time.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis first up, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is teaming up with five-time Grand Slam winner Carlos Alcaraz at the US Open tonight. They're playing in the standalone mixed doubles event, which is taking place before the singles tournament. The 22-year-old from Orpington will go up against fellow Brit Jack Draper and his American teammate Jessica Pegula. On to football, and Gillingham will be hoping to go four games unbeaten in League Two later. They're hosting Chesterfield after Saturday's 1-1 draw at Tranmere Rovers. Kickoff tonight is at 7:45. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. Plus, we'll have reaction to the result in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. Meantime, other Kent teams have found out who they will face in the first qualifying round of the FA Cup. Games take place on August the 30th. You can find the full list of fixtures on the sports pages of our website. On to cricket now, and Kent's Sam Billings has led the Oval Invincibles to another victory in the 100. They beat Southern Brave score of 133 with 11 balls remaining and are now 4 points clear at the top of the table. And Kent are travelling to take on Middlesex in the One Day Cup today. The Spitfires will be hoping to build on Sunday's win over Lancashire, which was their first victory in the competition this season. They're currently bottom of the table. We'll bring you details of the result in tomorrow's episode of the podcast. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.